Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Through the Bible with Joe McGee. We're having a great time going from one of the Bible to the other. I remember when I was a kid, I used to ask my dad all the time, I said, how old's God? Because you went to church every Sunday and every Wednesday, never missed a camp meeting or a training union. And so I'm sure I frustrated my dad. Says, how old's God? Well, he's not old, son. He just is. And, of course, when Cease to Be the Mills made the movie The Ten Commandments, God was talking, said, I am that I am, And that sort of simplified some things. But I was always fascinated. And then when I got into high school, I loved to study certain things. And I thought I was going to be an architect. So I took mechanical drafting 3 years. And I loved the structure of things. I loved how this thought real logical. So I was thinking about the Milky Way galaxy. The Hubble telescope had come out and they were making new discoveries and finding new galaxies. And so we realized that the Milky Way galaxy, for as large as it is not the only one. I mean, there are millions and millions and millions of galaxies. And so you take our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, it's big. I mean, and that's about average in size to most of the other ones. It's not the largest, it's not the smallest, but it's about average. So the Milky Way galaxy in which we live, on our planet, in our solar system, and the Milky Way galaxy, it is 100,000 light years from one side of the Milky Way galaxy to the other. Now, I used to love to hunt when I was a kid, and my first rifle was a .22 rifle, and we could do bird hunting, and we learned to get real good, believe it or not. And so I remember thinking one time, the speed of light is 186,000 miles a second. And I remember learning in science that time ceases to exist at the speed of light. I had a science teacher said, if we can send an astronaut out into space traveling at the speed of light, if he leaves the Earth traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, we send him 40 years out, 40 years back, everybody on Earth is going to be 80 years older. He will not have aged but about one day because time ceases to exist at the speed of light. Now, of course, we live on this planet with certain laws that govern it. We don't realize something. God does not live on this planet. God does not live in time. There is no time in heaven. Heaven's eternity. That's why he told Moses, I am that I am. If you have loved ones that have gone to heaven, they're not asking each other what day it is or what time it is. There's no time in eternity. It's called eternity for a reason. God created time to put man into, but that was only a temporary part of his life. Eventually, you pass away, you die, your body goes back to the dust, your spirit goes to heaven. You go to heaven, there's no time in heaven. There's not a clock or a month or a calendar. It's eternity. And so the Bible has a lot to say about that. But anyhow, I remember when I was frustrating my dad with all these questions, I started looking at myself. I said, if you get out in the yard and you take that rifle that we used to love to hunt with, and we had a farm way up in the country in East Tennessee, if you could stand outside and you could fire a bullet out of that rifle into the air, if that bullet traveled at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, if you could fire that bullet out of that gun and that bullet traveled at the speed of light, it would circle the earth 7 times and come across the top of your head before you get your finger off the trigger. In less than 1 second, that bullet will circle the earth 7 times if it traveled at the speed of light. Now, we have no natural concept to even get our head wrapped around that. You think, I can't even think about that. That just almost makes my head hurt. But that's what it is. The Bible says God is light. There's no time in heaven. He took John off the Isle of Patmos, brought him up to heaven, and showed John the future. Well, the future hadn't happened yet, but John saw it happen, and he wrote it down in the book of Revelation. God sits at the center of the universe, and he looks out into time. He's not bound by time. He created it. So he looks out into time. And so I remember when I got the thing about, when I was working as an engineer, I loved my job, I loved what I did, and I spent 7 years in night school, and had a nice home, we had 2 new kids, and life's going good, and God got to deal with me about the ministry. And so long story short, I quit my job, I sold my house, I moved 2 states away to go to school again, so I'm in a school, and I finally get my theology degree, and so I was fascinated. Because I was working with high school students, the questions that they would ask, this common sense, down-to-earth stuff. And so they would challenge me, because I realized most kids, even in a Christian school, they don't read their Bible. They don't know Genesis from Revelation. They don't know what page that's on. And so I realized something. I said, guys, you know, Genesis really is not the first book of the Bible. Job is the oldest book of the Bible. It's not in chronological order. It could be, and you can buy some today. You go to a Christian bookstore, you can get a chronological Bible. I want it in the sequence that it was revealed from God. So we're going to kind of cover that, but here's what we're going to do today. We're just talking about just the basic concretes of what truth is. So we live in the Milky Way galaxy that's 400,000 light years across. In other words, if you can get in your car or your truck and get out on the interstate and get it up to 186,000 miles a second, if you get your truck or your car up to that speed, that's the speed of light. If you can get your car up to that speed and maintain that speed, 186,000 miles a second, it will still take you 100,000 years traveling at the speed of light to go from one side of the Milky Way galaxy to the other. Now, I got to say that one more time real slow. If you're traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, not an hour, a second, 186,000 miles, every second you're going 186,000 miles, at that speed, it will still take you 100,000 years to go from one side of the Milky Way galaxy to the other. And that's just one galaxy. That's not the universe. It's an incredibly big place. God is a very big God. God's an awesome God, and he's a powerful God, and he's a loving God. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. We don't serve a wimpy God. That's why, you know, throughout the Old Testament, God would make fun of, you know, there were, you know, rocks and sticks and stones and statues. I'm not that stuff. I'm real. So when we started working with the high school kids, said, well, listen, guys, let's just go back to the basics. The Bible is the greatest book that's ever been written. It's the most popular book that's ever been written. It's the most printed book that's ever been printed. It is the truth of God. Volume 2 is not coming out. God's hanging with Volume 1. You got 66 separate books penned by over 40 different authors over a period of several thousand years. People think, well, that's not, no, you only God could have pulled this off. Only God could have made this happen. Every passage, every word, every number, every place is in that book for a certain specific reason. It's not an accident. This isn't a bunch of things where somebody got together a few hundred years ago. Hey, let's put all these books in one book, and we're going to use this one, we're not going to use that one. And I know people that talk about, well, the Apocrypha, what God included or not. Well, God's been involved in the whole process. The Bible is the most powerful book in the universe because it describes who we are, how we got here, and what's going on. And it'll never get too old. It'll never change. I don't care how old it is or how long ago it was written. It's still the truth. And so you have to realize something. In the Old Testament, there is an account of a nation, its origin, Israel, its destiny, its ups, its downs, what it did right, what it did wrong, and the history yet to unfold. That's the story of the Old Testament. The New Testament is an account of a man, the creator of the universe, whose appearance is the central event in all history. The Old Testament, just Genesis alone, Genesis by itself, that first book of the Bible, covers some 2,500 years. The New Testament, in its entirety, covers about 70 years. I mean, it's just incredible what God did that he put in this book for us to read today. And so, I remember when it first went into print, when the first Bible was put in print, people got burned at the stake. Hell did not want people to know that book. The devil's fought the Word of God from the very beginning. He challenged Adam and Eve. Are you sure, God said? Are you sure, God said? And so that's what God was trying to know. No, this is the will of God. Well, you got to get your face in it. That's why the Bible says, if you'll meditate in this word day and night, 3 John 2, Joshua 8, Psalms 1, 1 through 3, if you'll meditate in God's word day and night, you will prosper and have good success. The word of God is our life. God talks to us every time we read that. And people say, well, I read it and I don't understand it. Well, get you a good translation, you know. I grew up reading King James. It was the only one. Well, I read a New Living. Remember when I teach today, I teach out of my New Living translation. I still study my King James because there's certain word studies and books to go with that. But I don't speak King James. I speak modern English. So when I read and I teach and I do my seminars, I teach from New Living translation. I really like it a lot. And so you got to realize there's a timeline in history. You know, so people argue. I remember one of the universities I was at, there was a big debate on creationism. And so half the people there believe that, you know, there's several billion years old. And another half of the people who are college professors, some of them, said, no, it cannot be older than 6,000 years. It cannot be older than 6,000. It's just like the Bible said. We've been here for 6,000 years. Well, listen, anybody with half a brain knows No, this place is a lot older than 6,000 years. It's like, what happened to the dinosaurs, the mastodons? Well, they all died off somewhere. And they try to explain it. No, it's the first day of creation, for example. There's no daylight yet. There's no rising sun, setting sun. If you go back and read the first 6 days of creation, before there was a day, as we know, a day and night, the first day of creation, there's no time. The first day was not a 24-hour day. There was no 24-hour day. The first day of creation might have taken several million years. As we know time, again, God didn't live in time. He's not bound by time. There is no time where God's at. There's time where we are, but not where God is. And so you kind of go back. So we start laying it out. Let's just do the span of since Adam showed up. So when Adam showed up about 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden, you got the story of Adam, then Adam and Eve, and then how they sinned, and then they got fired from the job, evicted the house. Kids start killing one another. So that's how it starts out. So if you look through the major events in the timeline of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you go down the first major event, the flood. And so, you know, you got Noah building the boat. In a minute, it's four generations going. He's talking about the flood. There's never been a flood. There's never been a rainstorm. There's never been a thunderstorm. He's talking to people. People think he's crazy. He's loony. Now, he can't quit his day job, but in the evening, he and the boys get together, and they're building this big old boat. And so you got the story of the flood. After the flood, you got the call of Abraham. God takes a man out of what we know today as Iraq. Where was Abraham from? Iraq. You know, as we know it today in the modern term, he's from that part of the country. Ur of the Chaldees. And God told him, leave Ur of the Chaldees. Leave your father and mother. And I'm going to take you to a land where I'm going to make you a mighty nation. And then you're going to go where you've never been before. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. So he gets to the promised land, what we know as Israel today. And God says, everywhere you look, I'm going to give it to you. Everywhere you walk, I'm going to give it to you. Now, this is in the Bible. Now, you just got to take your time and just read through a little at a time. God takes this guy, and that's how he starts. We have a whole generation of people called the church. Where did the church come from? Abraham, the father of our faith, who first believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So you go through the scripture. So you got the call of Abraham. After Abraham, you have the Exodus from Egypt. You know, we have the, you know, basically, you know, 400 years of silence stuck in there. But yeah, the Exodus from Egypt, and then they go across, you know, and they get out, and then you have the birth of a nation, Israel. And God's got his own country now. It's Israel. He wants to show off through Israel. He wants the whole world to look at Israel and say, this is what God's like. God's our protector. He's our provider. He's the sun in the morning. He's the moon at night. He blesses us. He orders our steps. He directs our paths. God wanted the people to make that world ask them about the hope that's in them, the Bible says. Hey, how did you get it turned out so good? Well, we're not lucky. There's no such thing as luck. We believe and serve a living God. And then you got the dynasty of David. David shows up, the little kid with a slingshot, killed the lion, killed the bear, killed the giant. You know, after he killed the giant, all the women won't suck the lips off his face. He was famous. And so, you know, Saul hires him as his king and his bodyguard, hires him to lead worship. And then things go south one day, and Saul starts throwing spears at David's head. David runs for his life. And so he's in the wilderness for 7 years. He builds his own army that never lost a battle, comes back in. You know, Saul dies. David takes over. And then when David passes away, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, we have King Solomon's kingdom comes up. Well, after Solomon dies, and this is just sort of a timeline, there's a civil war that breaks out after Solomon's death. You know, the nation splits into two. The northern kingdom was eventually destroyed by the Assyrian army. The southern kingdom went into exile for 70 years. That's where we have Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so you kind of just boil this thing down and just kind of like, you know, a little short thing. How did we get all this? And so it's very important in Israel's history. So Genesis covers creation up to but not including the Exodus. It is a period of 2,500 years. The rest of the Old Testament is a small fraction of what all took place right there. So God's been busy for a long, long time. So after the Old Testament, there was a 400-year period called the silent years. No prophets spoke. God's not talking to anybody. Now, what happened to God? Well, you've been rebellious and rebellious, so God left. Well, then after 400 years of nobody saying anything, a guy pops on the scene called John the Baptist. Man got long hair, eats fried bugs for lunch, and wears some queer clothes, and he's dunking people in the water. And that is the beginning of the New Testament period. So the Old Testament was compiled over several thousand years. The New Testament was compiled over one lifetime. very different than the Bible. And so people, well, I never knew that. Well, if you read your Bible, just very simple. I used to tell my kids all the time, and we would buy them every year, get you a Through the Bible 1 year. I used the New Living Translation called the Daily Walk Bible. It goes from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. You can read your whole Bible in 1 year. Most people haven't read their whole Bible in their lifetime. So just go through it one time. And if you miss something, don't worry about it. Pick it up the next year. And so you're trying to find out what's going on. Well, the central theme is about Jesus Christ, who came, who ministered, who went to the cross, and was resurrected. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. After the New Testament came, the Diaspora, Israel was scattered to the ends of the world. God told him, you know, you rejected me, I'm going to reject you. That's how a Gentile could be born again, could be part of the Church of Christ. I got grafted in. God sent his son to the Jews. That's why you have a couple of stories where the mother came to Jesus one time, and she's a Gentile, and she's begging for Jesus to heal her daughter. And Jesus answered, you know, I'm not come for you. I've come to the lost sheep of Israel. And she said, well, even dogs eat the crumbs from the table. And Jesus looked at her and said, well, honey, great is your faith. I wasn't sent to you, but your faith has grabbed what I've got. And so Jesus talked to the people in those 3.5 years of ministry. Many people came to him. It wasn't their spiritual level. It was just their need. And so when Jesus called, the one father had the boy that was demon-possessed, kept throwing himself in the fire. Jesus asked him, and he did every time Jesus ministered. He asked him, do you believe I can do this? And the guy said, well, is that important? Oh, yeah, this is a faith thing. Without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot resist the devil. We're on a planet where it is the only weapon we possess, the gift of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6 lists all the armor that we have. There's a war. We've been promised victory, but we have to fight. And so when you have kids, you're trying to get a date for the prom or trying to get out of high school, trying to pass algebra, trying to make a ball team, trying to get into college, trying to get married. I said, guys, we're on an alien planet. This world is not our home. We're passing through. We're here to be a blessing. We're called the salt and the light of this planet. Why did this planet get messed up? Well, you got to go back in time, all the way back of creation. God created this planet one day, you know, the first 6 days of creation in Genesis. And so you start laying out, there's a story. And it all goes together. It's not scattered. So for years, scholars debated whether the prophecies about the Old Testament and the New Testament were literal or just symbolic. Because when the Jews got scattered, people didn't understand, well, what happened to God's people? Well, they rejected Jesus. What happened? Well, he went to the Gentiles. He took the message to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles were grafted in and became the church. So we're in the church age right now. The greatest age of human history. There are Baptists and Methodists, Presbyterians, Church of Christ, Church of God, Assembly of God. There's all kinds of, we got all kinds of labels, but we're still just Christians. We've been grafted in because the Jews rejected Jesus. We got grafted in, but God promised. He said, listen, I'm not through them. There's still 7 years of Jewish time left. And the Bible talks about it from Genesis to Revelation. God's still going to deal with the Jews. Not yet. One day the church will go home, and there's 7 years of Jewish history left, and God's going to deal with them. So what happened? Well, you know, what happened to Israel? Is it going to be neglected or whatever? No. The debates about Israel being a nation ended in 1948 when Israel became a nation again in one day. In 1948, for the first time in 2,000 years, the Jews came home to Israel. That's why you're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem every day. Why? God's real big on doing something with the Jews. God's always been big with the Jews, and so he's working with them. So that's just sort of an overall basic history of where we are, what we're doing. Like, why do you read your Bible every day? Well, it's very important. It's my history. It's who I am, where I came from, where I'm going, what I'm doing here right now. God said he's ordering my steps, directing my past, guiding me into all truth, showing me things to come. And so what we're going to do, we're going through the Bible from beginning to end, starting with the oldest book, chronologically, we're going to go all the way through. And so, man, you hang with us. You're going to learn a lot of neat stuff. We're going to cover some great points. And every time I've read this or I've taught this or I used to sit under great teachers in school, I've always had this thought every day. I think, I didn't know that. And I'd say, I didn't know that. Well, there's a lot I didn't know. That's why we're supposed to be learning every day, studying to show ourselves approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're supposed to be hungry. So every day, grab you an easy read Bible. Just spend about 5 or 10 minutes every morning, read a proverb, read a psalm. The more you read, the hungrier you're going to get. And revelation will come, I guarantee it. It's going to be a great trip, guys. Thanks for listening, Dave. Talk to you next time. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.